Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
A nice quiet weekend. It's great to be with you. Nothing happened. And thus nothing to talk about. Where does one start? Let's start with this. Let's start with our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Customer service is number one with them. There's a claim, and they're all over it as if it happened to them. That's how much they care. Great organization, great people. And that's why we're proud to have Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, as part of our show. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Let's see. There's a lot to get to. We'll start with just one quick line item, and then we'll go to Penn State football. That one line item is Jim Harbaugh wanted to say, hey, we'd like to do spring practice down at IMG Academy in Florida. Hey, Jim, here's one for you. I've been to the Ann Arbor campus. All the classrooms appear to be there. Okay. Enough of that. Oh, he's innovative. All the classrooms are in Ann Arbor. Okay? It's a university. Okay, now Penn State. Bob Shoup did a really good job here. And I personally like Bob Shoup. I respect the job he did here a lot. You have to make decisions along the line that you feel are in your personal best interest as to what your goals happen to be in conjunction with your family. Okay. So, for him, he thinks this is the right move to make. So be it. And I hope he does extremely well down at the University of Tennessee. I really do. But at the same time, James Franklin acted swiftly and decisively and moved up somebody that I know is absolutely ready for the job. Now, when Bill O'Brien did this a couple of years ago, all right, and moved somebody up from the staff, I was not comfortable for minute one. Not this time. This is completely different. Brent Pry is absolutely ready for this and was an important part of what Bob was doing anyway, defensively. Very important part of it. Excellent communicator. Excellent recruiter. Excellent teacher. And I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why, look, they've been waiting. He's been a defensive coordinator and waiting for a while. James Franklin knew it. He could see it. I remember at the football banquet, James and I had a long talk during the football banquet. We talked about Brent in particular, about the kind of quality coach he is and how important it was that he was part of this deal moving forward. And there's no doubt that that one was done decisively. Also decisively, naming Terry Smith associate head coach, naming Sean Spencer a run game coordinator, titles that are important moving forward because they bring with it a level of stability. Stability is important moving forward. And you notice the recruits right away jumped in, and they have felt great about everything since day one. You haven't seen people jumping ship or anything like that. The one recruit that decided to move on had done so before Bob Shoup even had discussed what he was thinking about doing, which is fine. And somebody mentioned, he said, what about that kid leaving? Kevin knows my thought process on that. I don't worry about about somebody who decides to not be here. You know, I worry about those who are here
The better question is, who's next? Like, who's next up? Who's next for the position? Who's ready to take that spot?
And there was no doubt in my mind that it was going to be Brent Pry. I mean, zero doubt. I mean, I didn't even think hesitate for a second. Like, oh, yeah, it'll be Brent Pry. It's his time. He deserves this. And he's the right guy for the job. I think he'll do a fabulous job. And then, you know, with Terry and with Sean, now you have to hire a safety coach. Okay, that's fine. You only can have seven guys out recruiting now anyway. You know, once the dead period's over with, you can only have seven out. And of course everybody knows about on offense, Joe Moorhead with the quarterbacks, Ricky Ronnie, the tight ends, and so forth. Geno Lewis did some really, really good things here. Really good things here. You know, you look at the big catches he made in Ireland. You look at the big catch that he made at Rutgers. The two big catches, including the touchdown catch and the Pinstripe Bowl, the catch that put them in front against Maryland down in Baltimore, the Tax Slayer Bowl, the touchdown catch that really jump-started a lot of things in the comeback. Geno did some really, really good things here. Really good. He also has his degree. In the end, isn't that the goal? Get your degree. He has his degree. He also is smart enough to look around at the logjam at wide receiver. And that logjam is a 1,000-yard guy in Chris Godwin. Another really good year for Deshaun Hamilton. Cy Blacknall averaged over 25 yards a catch. You got Brandon Polk, DeAndre Tompkins, and then there's the Irvin Charles, Juwan Johnson factor. And I think that long-term, Geno looked around and thought, you know what, I have my degree, I have some options, and he decided to go to Oklahoma. And I think for both Penn State and for Geno Lewis, it'll work out just fine. I think Geno has a great opportunity now at Oklahoma, and it also turns out it is a position of incredible depth for Penn State, and Geno has his degree. And a guy has his degree, I have no problem with him moving on. Same thing with the NFL part. You know what? You think you're ready to go to the NFL and you want to give it a shot? Go ahead. The rules state 3 years in a program. Well, that's fine. I have no problem with that. You're just trying to do things that make your life better. It's your decision, and we have to find out one way or the other whether you made the right decision or not. And Geno, I think, was smart enough to see the logjam there. And, you know, Geno's big problem here was consistency. Yeah, we all know that he'd run the occasional wrong route, be in the wrong spot. But we also knew that he had the ability to make that big play where he sat back and went, yo, okay, way to turn the thing around. And he'll help Oklahoma. He'll be good at Oklahoma. I think that'll be a good move for him. And for Penn State, it opens up the door for Irvin Charles and Juwan Johnson to really get deep into the thick of what's going on out there. So I think it's a win-win for everybody. He did some really, really good things here. I think he'll do good things at Oklahoma. I also think it opens the door for a couple of young receivers who are on the move anyway on the depth chart. So that's the Penn State part. And again, if you have any questions or opinions, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. The Steeler debacle. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Who needs the Powerball? You can be a big winner with a brand new Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai. If your New Year's resolution is to save money, check out Sunbury Motors Hyundai this month. SMC Hyundai has 2016 Elantras with sunroofs, Bluetooth backup cameras, and more, starting at only $17,235 or just $209 a month. Or Hyundai Accents starting at $14,493 or as low as $176 a month. Why buy used? Head to Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Get a great new car, a low payment, and America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles. You don't need the Powerball to win big. You need to visit Sunbury Motors Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. And at sunburyhyundai.com. SMC, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
10% down for 84 months. 3.64% with approved credit through M&T Bank. Now all buyers qualify. Tax and tax extra, all rebates to dealer. See dealer for complete details.
And, of course, I think a lot of people are also hearing about the possibility that Herb Hand is going to leave Penn State and go to Auburn to join his old friend Gus Malzahn. USA Today is reporting it. Nothing official yet out of Penn State. Doug in Wellsboro. Hello, Doug. How are you today? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys, too. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling, Doug. Appreciate it.
Hey, a couple of just quick questions. What is Shoup's ultimate goal, to be a head coach in 2017, and Tennessee was the better, they expected Penn State to take a step backwards, and Tennessee looked like a better opportunity to build his resume for 17, or what?
I know Bob wants to be a head coach. I do know that. At the same time, his family had spent most of the time in the last 4-plus years in Tennessee and loved it down there too. So, I mean, there's a combination of factors. I mean, he'll get a little bit more money there. He gets into the SEC East, which is probably, I mean, the SEC East versus the Big Ten East might be a little bit better in some ways. At the same time, I think he has some goals in mind, and I hope Bob achieves his goals. And I think it opens up the door for Brent Pry, and I think Brent Pry is absolutely ready. So I think that's, I think it's going to be a win-win all the way around.
How did that work with Brent Pry? Like, did they both call the defenses? What did Brent Pry do during game week?
During game week, he and Bob were together, along with the defensive staff, working out the game plan. Sean Spencer would talk about the kind of rotations that he would have on the field. For example, he would play three straight series with Austin Johnson, then rotate in. He'd play two straight with Zettel, rotate in. Which guys would he want out there for three down linemen? Pry did the same thing with linebackers. And then Pry was also the one that would, he and Bob would talk during the week as to what the game plan would be. And then it was Brent that would signal in from the sideline what the signals happened to be. So, I mean, that's how they worked it out between the two, because he was the associate defensive coordinator.
Who replaces Herb Hand?
Don't know. That one I don't know. It's not as cut and dry there as, to me, it was on defense. I think that one might be have to be one you go outside to take care of. There's nobody on staff you'd do that.
Why are these guys leaving? It's a better opportunity for them. It's not a right fit with Franklin. Is it just coincidence? Why are all these guys leaving?
Well, this is a hard adjustment for Penn State fans, but this is the way it is everywhere. you're looking to get the best opportunity along the way. Let's take Herb Hand, for example. He's very close friends with Gus Malzahn. Very close friends. So he's going to go down there, it looks like, and it appears he's on the path to taking that job, at least according to what USA Today is saying. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Plus, I mean, let's face it, the rebuilding job of a Penn State offensive line coming off sanctions is a daunting job, I mean, without question. Now, it's about ready to turn around, I think, with some of the recruiting, but it's going to take a little time to get there. But this has, if this has something, let me put it this way, it's a far more daunting challenge if James Franklin left as opposed to an assistant coach leaving. Assistant coaches are extremely important and valuable. But when a head coach goes, everybody goes. And that means everything has to be replaced. And I think when you see that Pry, Spencer, Smith, Moorhead, Ronnie, Gaddis, they're all there. Charles Huff, they're all there. And these guys have decided they want to take on other challenges someplace else. Money might be better, friendship. You know, there's a lot of reasons why. And, you know, I think that I respect whatever decision they decide to make. I think you go forward with what you have, and I think they'll make a good choice.
Yeah, I guess anymore, the way college football obviously is a business, and with agents involved, as long as your head guy stays in place, all the other parts below are moving parts, and it's year to year anymore.
Well, look at Alabama tonight. Alabama, after tonight, they're losing four assistant coaches.
Right, right. Hey, Kevin, how did you survive Saturday night?
Listen, I don't care how it happened. There's a double. This is the only time I'll say this in the playoffs. I don't care how it happened. They're moving on. That's it. I honestly gave up at one point.
Did your wife have to pick you off the floor?
No, she went to bed. She said, there's no way I'm watching this game with you.
I mean, Doug, when they lost to Baltimore, he flatly stated on the show he wouldn't watch the playoff game if they, quote, backed in.
They and won now, to get in.
Now he's sitting there, and he's watching every second of it, sweating bullets. You know, I'm off getting a sandwich while all this is happening. Like, everything's good.
So obviously we're not going to watch the game against the Broncos, huh, Kevin, since they backed into this game?
Listen, I said they didn't back in because they won their way in. If they would have lost and everything would have fallen into place and then they would have gotten in, that's a different situation then.
If they lost, they wouldn't have been in.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Then I didn't watch the playoffs.
No. You said that if they backed in, you wouldn't watch.
They didn't back in. They won to get in. They just got some help along the way.
No. You're only saying that now because I said that before it all happened. And I said, look, it's a 16-game body of work. And you were so emotional and off the edge. I mean, Doug, I mean, seriously, I mean, honestly, goodness, I feel like we need a couch here.
Doug, it was bad Saturday night, okay? There was a reason nobody was at my house Saturday night, and anybody that was not with me.
He texted me at one point, Doug, he says, Toussaint's playing great. He's got 10 carries for 38 yards. And then I remembered that when the Hall of Fame standard is 3.9, 3.8 is pretty close.
No, that's not what I texted you. I said,
Toussaint and the running
game have more yards in the first half than the Steelers did in the wild card last year.
No, here it is. Toussaint has 10 carries for 38 yards and 2 catches for 43. He's having a really good half. Okay.
Better than last year's running game.
Doug, I mean, honestly, I mean, I feel like Bob Newhart.
This week, I want a detailed analysis every day from Kevin on recovery from sprained shoulders or separated shoulders or whatever. I'm sure he'll be sweating that every minute this week.
Play through this way. I'm doing the show in West Lafayette on Wednesday. Kevin will be at the UPMC Center down in Pittsburgh for his half of the show. I'm just outside. I'm just outside. Big Ben just went in. I think that's Jim Bradley. I think it is. No, wait a minute. It's Dr. Joey Porter.
By the way, Joey Porter gets my game ball. I just want to say that right now. Joey Porter gets my game ball.
That was so funny. Out of nowhere, Joey Porter standing there in the middle of the field just yapping. And, of course, they got in the extra 15 yards. But that was him and Mike Munchak. That was pretty cool.
I mean, that's using your full team to – I mean, that's not only using your team, but your coaching staff to win a game.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, what a sad segment that was.
Thanks, Doug. I appreciate the call.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Doug.
I said youth football coaches are going to use that game forever for two lessons. Don't ever stop playing. And always keep control of yourself when you're between the sidelines and on the field.
No, the NFL's embarrassed. Berfick should be suspended 4 games plus heavily fined. Pac-Man Jones should be suspended 1 game plus heavily fined. Joey Porter should be heavily fined. Mike Munchak should be fined. And Ryan Shazier should be fined.
The Shazier one I'm not sure about because is it a leading with the helmet? Because he was a runner at the time.
Kevin, irrelevant. helmet-to-helmet contact is going to be a fine in the NFL
after the fact. You're saying just a fine, not the fact that it should have been a penalty. You're just saying it should be a fine. Right.
It was not a penalty, but it was helmet-to-helmet contact. He's going to be...
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. And we're brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. And when there's a claim, they act as if it's personal. They get take care of it as quickly as possible. It's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Kevin, celebrating the greatness of Joey Porter, who is evidently part linebacker coach, part wide receiver coach, and part trainer.
That's a new position they started.
If a team wants to save money, they hire him because Joey can do it all. In fact, I think he actually cured Antonio Brown. Vontaze Burfict was a disgrace to the game on Saturday night. Pac-Man Jones was a disgrace to the game on Saturday night. Joey Porter was a disgrace to the game Saturday night. An assistant coach. A coach has to be held to a higher standard. They're also management, so they can fine them all they want. But you're a coach. You're in the box. The head coach can go out there, but you're an assistant coach for the linebackers with the offense on the field. Why are you out there? Why? I love how he just drew him into a penalty. Why are you out there?
I agree with
you. The officials totally lost control.
I agree with you. If it was a position player of his position, of his coaching position,
yeah, if it was Lawrence Timmons, for example, I'd be like, okay, I can get why he's out there. He's worried about his guy.
But there are two things that have to happen here, Steve, according to the NFL rules. If a coach comes on the field, it has to be cleared by an official. Right. If it was cleared by an official, why would the official clear the linebacker coach to come out and take a look at a wide receiver? Okay, now the other argument is, well, I was going
Not a single official says he was cleared to go out there.
Now the other argument is, well, I was going out there to help him off the field. Okay, why are you with a bunch of Bengals at that particular moment? He incited that 15-yard penalty. There's no question about it. I'm not even going to debate it. And that's why I jokingly said I gave him the game ball, because he incited that penalty. That being said, if you're Adam Jones, why on earth are you reaching over top an official to shove a member of the opposing team? Do you think that's not going to draw a flag? You have to keep your cool.
But you know what, though? So does the official. The official has to understand what's going on and just like, hey, look, get back. Right. And he said, what's he doing out here? And then you turn around and then you take care of it. OK, the NFL officials have to take some responsibility for what happened out there. Okay? I would not have thrown a flag on that play. OK, I'm perfect. I would not have thrown a flag on Adam Jones. You got to realize time, score, and situation yourself as an official. And you got to look over and go, who is this person out here? I mean, who are you?
No, that's a very good observation, is why was that flag thrown for a shove that, by the way, happened throughout the entire game at multiple points by player to player. But again, you have to have your head about you. That's the penalty. Now, the other argument I get from that I've heard from Bengals fans, and I've talked to him this weekend.
Look, Adam Jones is okay, and Perfect are both deserve. Perfect deserves to me a 4-game suspension with a conversation saying, "Hey, it happens again, it's going to be 8." Jones should have a 1-game suspension and a heavy fine. Perfect should have a heavy fine. Okay, so now we've established where I'm coming from here. At the same time, the official should not have thrown a flag on that play. They should have taken a little bit better charge on that play, and I think they're part of the responsibility and the problem on that play. The second he comes off the sideline, get him the heck out of there. Get him out of there. In fact, throw the flag. Right, I know it's like delay a game.
It's a 5-yard penalty, right?
Except it can be unsportsmanlike conduct because he's in the center of the field.
In looking it up today, that was the way I interpreted the rule, that it was a 5-yard penalty for delay a game.
It is their discretion.
Okay.
It is there. Okay. Okay. On the field is Mike Tomlin in the Ravens game last year.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Joey Porter standing in their huddle is unsportsmanlike conduct.
Now, I'm not disagreeing with you.
He's standing in the huddle. Shouldn't be there. And again, I don't think the officials should have thrown a flag in that play. They just should have said, like, realize, you know, what's he out there? Okay, here's one for you. Here's a guy in a Steeler jacket with a headset. Why is he in the Bengal huddle? Okay, common sense needs to kick in here. Now, Adam Jones is absolutely wrong, but the officials also lost control of it. Then there was this moment on CBS. Thursday Night Football is up for renewal. Let's low key it. I mean, really? Where was the strong stance by CBS on anything?
The only thing I heard was I heard Phil Sims talking about the play being a disgrace, the end of the game being a disgrace. Actually, they were harsher. Nance and Sims were harsher on the 5-minute post-game CBSSports.com segment that they did than they were on the game.
I mean, there are a lot of things wrong here across the board. Perfect. This is no place for that. And then Adam Pac-Man Jones. He flopped. He was out cold.
Oh, no. It was even better. Earlier today on the Dan Patrick Show, he says he was faking it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, really? Here, you got to hear that. I mean, and of course, Dan Patrick leads him to this too. I'll say that much.
Was Antonio Brown
as close as you were?
Was Antonio Brown actually hurt?
Man, Antonio Brown was not hurt.
You think he was faking it?
I know he was faking. Go back and look at the play. If you go back in slow motion to play, you tell me that Vontaze hit him in the head, or did his shoulder pad barely touch him?
Well, let's give him for one second the benefit of the doubt and say he hit the shoulder pad. All right, let's just say it. He hit the shoulder pad pretty darn hard. How about that? All right, for the sake of argument, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know. There were, and as you and I talked about going into the news, there was also discussion whether the Shazier hit should have been a penalty. According to the rule book, No,
it's not a penalty.
Because
it's
he's a runner penalty, that he, time, not a receiver right, at that point.
Right, right. I said that. I said
yes,
it shouldn't
you did.
Be a penalty.
Yes, you
but,
did.
But he'll be but he'll be fine for helmet-to-helmet contact.
No, I wasn't. No, you did say that, and I was not insinuating that you didn't. What I was saying was I'm going through a list of things that I've heard on both sides over the last 48 hours.
It's absolutely legal, but like most times, as you see in the NFL, there's no flag on the play. I think he's still going to get fined because it was a square helmet-to-helmet hit. And while being legal, again, you're a league where they have a movie out called Concussion around your league. You're not really that enamored with a tackle that, you know, and he didn't spear him. It wasn't dirty. No. Anything like that. But in college football, he would have been thrown out.
Yes.
Now, in college football, which has a different rule, college football rule is completely different. He would have been thrown out of the game and would have been, and not only would he have been thrown out of the game, he would have been out for the first half of the next game.
That is correct. You're absolutely right. I will say this. I have to give Jeremy Hill credit. Of all the stuff that's been going on over the last 48 hours, he's the one guy that actually, in my opinion, has handled this very, very well. You know, he's the one that fumbled the ball, and he says, I take full blame. He wasn't trying to pawn it off on anybody. He wasn't saying, well, you know, if the play later on, they could, you know, they would. No. He said, I fumbled the ball. Yeah. My fault.
He and Blair Walsh both.
Yep. I give them credit. Yep.
Yeah. He and Blair Walsh, he's like, well, what about the lace? No. I got to make that kick.
That's my responsibility. And, right. You know, and exactly this. Jeremy Hill looks at it like this was my responsibility to take care of the ball. You know, as a running back, that they're going to try and stand you up and rip the ball out. Your job is to get down. Your job is to get forward, get down, and keep the football. Now, the one other thing that I will say, and I know that Steeler fans are not perfect fans by any means, but the throwing of garbage, beer cans, plastic bottles, the cheering of an injured player, that's disgraceful to me. I would even say that if it was the Steeler fans doing that.
I hate when I see that at Heinz Field. All right. No, I'm just kidding.
If the Steeler fans did that, I would have the same exact comment, Steve. You know me well enough. I would have that same comment. I have no time for something like that.
I thought it was an absolute disgrace. All right. That was an absolute disgrace. And it reflected that the defense that they had on the field.
I mean, there was so many frustration. I get it.
There's so many things in that game. I mean, you know, Mike Munchak, he should be fine because, look, you're a coach. You can't grab his hair and spin him around. I don't care what he did, right? You're a coach. You're held to a higher standard, all right? Now, should it be a mega fine? No, but just some sort of nominal fine. You should be fine because, you know, you're a coach. You should be held to a higher standard. When Bernard got hit, watch the sideline. Bengals coaches came out, now not halfway onto the field and did not go into the Steeler huddle, but you know, some of the Bengals came off the sideline. Pecco made a terrible play in the game. The heck did Pecco do?
Yeah, I was going to say, what one are you talking about there?
It was in the first half. He was not in, and he was out on a play, and he did something. And it drew a 15-yard penalty. The Bengals played about as dumb a game as you could ask a team to play in terms of just dumb. I saw dumb all weekend. DeSean Jackson, I'm going to Clyde in. Hey, big dog. Okay, guess what? It's the playoffs. Lower the shoulder. Get your backside there. You just cost your team 4 points. I knew the second it happened. They're like, touchdown. I'm like, that's not a touchdown. I knew right away it wasn't a touchdown. Right, and that's because you had to glide into the end zone. Well, that's good. You just glided your team off the scoreboard. Nice job. I knew right away it wasn't a touchdown. Ball in the right hand. Ball's on the right side of the pylon. You could tell right away.
Didn't need a pylon can for that one.
You don't need that one. I'm just saying, but you could see right away. That is not, I mean, I saw so many dumb plays this weekend. We sat back and said, well, what are these guys doing? The Minnesota-Seattle thing, I mean, they're all freezing to death, so I can understand any play you make in that game. Okay, I got that part.
Listen, the weekend lived up to the name Wild. I'll say that much. And by the way,
Wild, all right.
Here's the worst part for the NFL.
Now you got a defensive coordinator in Pittsburgh going up against a quarterback that's smarter than he is.
Here's the biggest issue the NFL has. The Steelers-Bengals game was really kind of embarrassing for the NFL as a whole.
Yeah, but it was rated off the charts.
And it was the third rated TV wildcard weekend game of all time.
Because it was engrossing. Now, the Steelers
fans are
wondering,
not sure that's good or bad.
Do you have Ben Roethlisberger? Do you have Antonio Brown? Do you have D'Angelo Williams? And how well can Peyton Manning throw the ball? He'll outthink you. be allowed. Thank you. He'll get them out of the wrong play and into the right play. He'll do all that stuff. Broncos have a better defense than Cincinnati. Got a better running game than Cincinnati. Backup quarterback almost beat you.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I know. I watched that fourth quarter.
I mean, you're lucky for three quarters. He played like a backup quarterback. I mean, he really did. You're like, the third quarter, I'm sitting there going, man, are they lucking out here tonight? Because he's playing like he's a backup quarterback.
You have a lot more experience at this than I do, especially from talking with coaches. The gloves thing. Phil Simms was starting Glovegate. I swear he was trying to start the glove topic. Is that a big deal?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And he was right about that.
All right.
He was absolutely right about that. The grip, because it's pouring rain, he couldn't grip the football because the rain was just driving down. You just can't grip it. I mean, even though A.J. McCarron has huge hands, he played up here at Penn State. In fact, it was his second career start. Was here at Penn State. A.J. McCarron has huge hands, but the ball is slick. And those gloves, have the Bucknell guys ever, like, have you ever used any of the Bucknell gloves?
I'm familiar. Yeah, I have. I mean, I just didn't know how sticky they got when they were wet. I've never seen them that sopping
wet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's so much. They are so sticky you can grip the ball with it.
I mean, I know there's a way to recondition those after a game or after a game in rain, but I just didn't realize that they'd be. I thought they would actually get slick during the rain.
Phil Simms made a great, great point. He was absolutely right about it. It gave him a better shot at throwing the ball because he could grip the ball. I don't know what the temperature is going to be in Denver, but Peyton Manning in Denver has been playing with the glove on. Tom Brady plays with the glove off. It all depends on the feel that you have for it. But you could tell the ball was slipping out of his hands. Now, you got to get used to doing it. But if you can't really have the ball in your hand to throw it and it's slipping out of there, you got to do something. And the glove is the only solution you have. And Phil Simms was absolutely spot on about that.
Steve, it may be actually warmer in Denver on Sunday than in Pittsburgh. They're looking for a high of 41, low of 24.
It gets like that, you know, because they're not up in the Rockies. They're a mile high, but they're not in the Rockies. I mean, it's also a later. No, it's not a later game. It's a 4:25 game, but
yeah.
It's what?
But that's like what? Yeah, 2 o'clock it's out there.
Two o'clock there. That's no big deal. Yeah. You know,
so you're looking at about 41 degrees.
Yeah, so this, as the sun sets in the Steelers season, no Ben, no Brown, no Williams.
What did I tell you when they made the wild card round? I said everything after that's a bonus. I just want to beat the Bengals. Well, they beat the Bengals, not exactly the way I had in mind, but a win's a win in the playoffs. I'll take any kind of win in the playoffs. I'm not proud there.
Anybody who's listened to this show as we head into our fifth year knows that.
I'm not proud. Yeah, they already know that.
Period,
thank you.
Period. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Nikki Jabala from the Denver Post scheduled on tomorrow's show, by the way. Talk about the Broncos and their march to greatness.
Blah, blah, blah.
I don't think anybody knows whether Peyton Manning can throw the ball. I don't, you know.
That's all right. Nobody knows if Ben can throw the ball more than 10 yards right now.
Let me put it this way. But here's one thing from 2 weeks ago. Peyton Manning must have looked good enough in practice for Gary Kubiak to say, let's do this. That's something a lot of people haven't talked about. Evidently, he must have thrown the ball well enough in practice for him to say, you know what, let's go.
Well, here's the 411 on Ben. The MRI done yesterday, scan revealed no structural damage to the joint. He is still suffering from a sprain to his AC joint and his throwing shoulder. Will Johnson is a grade 2 hamstring pull. Robert Golden suffered a shoulder injury, but he says he'll be ready to play. No word, though, on D'Angelo Williams. And no word, right? Nothing new, I don't think, on Antonio Brown.
He's in concussion protocol.
Right, but nothing new there.
Yeah, that means he's still in it. So.
Well, how could he be in concussion protocol? Adam Jones says he was faking it. He should be fine by now.
Well, that's okay, because Adam Jones and Joey Porter both have one thing in common, okay? Neither one of them's a doctor. All right. Joey, that's John Norwig. He's the trainer. That's his job. See Jim Bradley? Doctor. That's his job. You coach linebackers.
Tell you what, you know who won after that wild card game? NFL Charities. There's going to be a lot of money being donated to NFL Charities this week.
I'm sure.